When is it the right time to wake up in the morning? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. When is it the right time to wake up in the morning? And every one of you will sparkle your eyes and say, when you open your eyes, when you wake up, when you're done sleeping. That's the time to get up in the morning. Well, so they say. And so they say that everyone should have 8 hours of sleep, and everyone should have lots of rest, and everyone should have a time of complete relaxation, and that sleep should be that time. Well, if the truth is known, we really don't need any sleep. We really don't need any time in bed. We say we do. We say we do because we want to give our body a chance to rest. And that's the silliest thing in the world. We know that it's silly. We know that if your heart ever decides to rest, that means you're ready for the next dimension. You're done here. If your heart decides to rest, your heart is designed to last eternity. There's no limit to how long your heart can hold, if you take care of it. Now, if you don't take care of your heart, then your heart's not going to be giving you a functioning organ that's going to be helpful to you. Same goes for if your lungs and if your muscles and your cells or your body. You know, you don't believe me when I tell you this, but it's true. Every day, every cell of your body basically is replaced. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days, but within a very short time, every cell of your body is completely renewed. A brand new cell comes in, and the old cells are fluffed off. Now, the old cells are the dust under the bed. But the thing is, we do that. We have brand new cells every day. And these cells don't need rest. Now you say, well, Herb, what are you making such a big thing about rest for? Well, we'll get to that. We have said to ourselves, I'm just too tired to go on. And then our body cooperates by being too tired to go on. We say, I hurt. And then our body cooperates by hurting. You feel great. Oh, I feel so wonderful. I feel fantastic. And our body cooperates by feeling great, wonderful, and fantastic. Our body is our vehicle, our temple. Now, if you went out to get in your car, and your car says, I don't feel like going someplace today, you'd say, hey, what's going on here? Well, you haven't changed my oil, and you haven't greased me and lubed me. You haven't taken care of all my tires. My tires are all low on air, and I'm almost empty of gas, and so I just, you know, don't think I'd get you very far. Well, you're right. So, the first thing we do is to put air in our tires, and we put gas in our tank, oil in our oil, and we lubricate all of our fittings. And then we say to the car, hey, you're all lubed up, you're all gassed up, you're all polished up, everything's in divine order. You like that? Oh, yes, that's me. And it just sparkles out. They say cars don't talk. No, but you do. And you talk for them. And so this car says, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. I want to travel, I want to fly, I want to go places. Well, our body is like the car. Our body is separate from us. It is something that is something we use. We, as a thinking machine, use our body as a thinking machine. And when we tell our body it's all gassed up, When we tell our body it's in top-notch form, when we tell our body we have polished it and cleaned it and made it all beautiful, when we tell our body that it's the greatest thing on the face of the earth, when we tell our body that we have the greatest body, what do you think our body is going to do? Our body is going to react not because of what we say, but because of what we've done. We have mentally put everything in order for our body. We have physically put everything in order for our body, and our body is all set to do whatever we want to do. Now, is that strange? Mm-mm. Now, does your body want to sleep? Your body, you think it wants to sleep because you're told that it should sleep. You're told that when you're little children, you should have so many hours of sleep. That's garbage. Absolute garbage. Children should have all the sleep they want. But they don't need a certain amount at a certain time. You know them. When a child is playing so busy and so industriously, and he feels like taking a nap, bonk! He lays his head down, goes to sleep, and he wakes up so many minutes later feeling refreshed and alert and alive. He's all set to go. Now, why did he need the nap? Why did he need the nap? Would you like to know why he needed the nap? Because you told him that. You as his parents, you as his peers, you as his fellow travelers on planet Earth said, well, you know, you get tired, and you got to take your nap, and you got to go to bed, and you got to go to bed at night, you know, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. You don't got to do nothing. You say, Herb, you're going against everything. Yes, I am, aren't I? And I usually do go against everything. But, hey, physiologically, you don't need it. What happens in your dream time? Oh, you have your deep sleep, you have your moderate sleep, you have your open sleep, you have your just relaxation. Do you think you're sleeping when you're reading a book and you just stop for a minute and close your eyes and just think about what you've read? Are you sleeping?
No.
You're thinking about what you've read. No. Maybe you fall asleep. And when you fall asleep, do you think that you're thinking about what you're thinking about? No. When you fall asleep, you have shut off many avenues of your conscious mind. You know? You just cut them off. You are not benefiting from them whatsoever. What is this REM sleep that we talk about, you know? This heavy REM sleep where you have quick eye movement and things like that, you know, and you're in a deep sleep. What are you doing? You're on another dimension. You're not sleeping. You think you're sleeping, but you're not. You're on another dimension of time and space. And in this other dimension of time and space, you're doing all sorts of great things, but you're not sleeping. What happens when a person, like our dog Rex, when he's sleeping, and you look at him and sometimes he's twitching his foot, and you think to yourself, I wonder what he's dreaming. Well, he's on another dimension. He's on another plane of reference where he is walking or running or thinking or talking or doing. He's alive. And his body is there with him doing it. You can be very, very busy. They say that a scientist uses as much energy in his thinking system as an athlete does in his athletic prowess, you know. Kind of interesting. And why is that? Because the mind is utilizing all aspects of the body. The mind is using the thinking part, the brain part, the lungs. The mind, it is creating whatever it's thinking about as a real thing. It's very real. Now, more garbage? Sure, let's have some more garbage. Psychologists, scientists, researchers tell us that if we will take ourselves and put ourselves in a darkened room and mentally play basketball, that we will quite likely be better than the people who are in a lighted room playing basketball. Why? Because in a darkened room, we're playing basketball and we don't miss. We see ourselves getting a basket every time. We're one-pointed, we're focused. We're so fantastic, and we're just great. And then we come out of this total winning state. We come out of this attitude of hitting the basket every time and dribbling and doing everything in perfect coordination, that when we do come out, that's what we do. Now, we may fall back quickly like that into the old habit of not being coordinated before we took our mental attitude that we were, and then, boop, we're back there again. I've been reading a great deal lately about diseases and mental attitudes and problems that people have and medicines that doctors give. And they have DMS or DMSO or whatever it is, and they use it on horses' legs when the horses have been running too hard or they have arthritis or rheumatism, and they put that on there, and within a few moments the horse is back to normal. The horse's breath smells like garlic, but the horse is back to normal. You know, all the pain is gone, all the arthritis, all those things are gone. Okay, now the material, the stuff works on a horse. But people think it doesn't. Now, the horse doesn't know that it doesn't work. The horse doesn't know that it works or it doesn't work. The horse is just having the application and it works. You, when you take the same material and you put it on your arthritic limb, you think, surely it can't work. And you think, oh my God, my breath will smell like garlic, and that's terrible, you know. I don't want it to happen like that. And, oh my goodness, I'd rather have the arthritis, you know. I'd rather have the pain and suffering of it. Well, you see, you have your old mental apparatus so busy in there, thinking up reasons why this or that doesn't work, that what do? You put blocks in the way of your successful enjoyment of wholeness and health and healing. Now, wholeness and health and healing take place as thoughts primarily, but they can be helped along by medicines, and they are. Medicines, as doctors tell you, and I've read again and again and again from the time of Hippocrates down to current day doctors, medicines only keep you alive long enough so your body can heal itself, so your body can
return to your purity
and integrity.
So that your body can return to your original purity and integrity. So your body can return to expressing your original purity and integrity. So your body can return to expressing your original purity and integrity. You see, the original purity and integrity are there. That's what you want. That's what the horse experiences when this material is put on his arthritic limb, or when he's overstressed it in racing or whatever. And people, when they're not thinking about it, they have miracles happen to them with the drugs that are given to them because, yes, that'll work. But the doctor will not say that. He won't say, this will cure you. What the doctor says is, this may help you, may help you. The doctor doesn't want to stick his foot in his mouth, because the doctor knows that medicine doesn't cure anything. It merely makes you stay in business long enough to get on the road yourself. Now, do you need sleep? They tell you you need sleep. Why do people who run child care centers have permission to give relaxation pills to their wards? Why are they allowed to give these relaxation pills to their kids? Because the kids are hyper, and it's easier to take care of kids when they're sleeping than it is when they're wide awake and active and getting into all sorts of mischief, you know. And so they say the kids are hyperactive. Now, the kids are not hyperactive. They're just normally active. But For the caretakers, it's easier to take care of kids who are sleeping in their bed. Mama leaves them there at noon, and they are put in their bed. Mama comes back at 5:30 or 6, and the lady gets them out of bed at 4:30 or 5, you know, in preparation for Mama coming. And then the kid is what?
Hyperactive.
He's hyperactive. He's got all sorts of energy that he hasn't used up. And he's not really hyper, but he's just got all sorts of energy that he just was building up his sleep. Yeah, see, we really don't need that. And we do this to ourselves. Now, you're going to say, Herb, you're going against what society and science and everything tells us to do. That's true. Society says to you, when you're tired, lay down, take a rest. I say to you, when you're tired, say to yourself, I'm full of life, I'm full of life, I'm full of vitality, vigor, and vimmer, all that good stuff. And you say that to yourself, and you are.
Yeah.
You are. But the thing is, if you say, oh, I'm so tired, then you got to go back to bed, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're putting yourself in bed. You don't need sleep. You don't need these things, but you do it to yourself because it's an escape. Sleep has always been an escape. For parents, it's been an escape. For grandparents, getting rid of the grandparents, just put them to bed and give them their bottle, you know, schnapps, you know, and things like that. You know, this is true. This is true. We do this. We do this. We give grandpa a bottle of schnapps and he falls asleep and he's out of our way and we don't have to worry about him. And we give grandma her snake oil, you know, and it's got alcohol in it, and grandma gets real relaxed, you know, and she's no longer a bother. And the kids, you give them a relaxation pill, and it makes them sleepy, and they sleep, and so you don't have to bother with them. You know, then comes bedtime, and they don't want to go to bed. Well, of course they don't. But the thing is, I'm telling you these things not to make fun of them, and not to say that they're right or they're wrong. I'm saying that we give ourselves permission to do all sorts of things that are not to our benefit. And what's not to our benefit is to think that we're sick, to think that we're old, or think that we're tired, or think that we need things. We don't. What are the happiest children on the playground? The children that live in their own fantasy. The children that are playing with their dolls. Dolls! Dolls! Dolls are not people. Dolls are not real. Dolls are not anything. But they're nice. Kids like to fantasize that they're real people. This is my baby, you know. My baby wets his pants, you know. I got to change his pants. And you know, some creative mother has got him ready to take care of their sister when it's old enough that they have to take care of him, you know. But this is all just part of the games that we play. Now, what is it you want out of life? Do you want to live a whole life? You know, I hear of people who love reading books, and books are great. I certainly want you to read my books, you know. But books are great. But the thing is, what happens while you're reading a book? You're not living. While you're reading a book, you're not being yourself and having fun and doing all sorts of good things. You're off in somebody else's world. You're off in somebody else's dimension. You're off on somebody else's planet. Not that it's bad or good, but hey, it's not yours. It's not yours. I recommend that we don't have any books here other than general knowledge books for anyone to use on campus except the textbooks for the university, because that's all we're here to learn. And if anybody's here to have relaxation time and read The Perils of Pauline or something, then go home. Mm-hmm. Go home. And maybe go somewhere else, you know. Bad enough we watch digital movies that are sometimes a little hairy. Most of the time we check them over thoroughly to make sure they're comedies or peaceful movies. But even the comedies and peaceful movies are interesting. We were watching Bewitched the other night, and on Bewitched, on the television show, the two characters were hitting each other, and what's the name of them?
Oh, the puppets.
Yeah, the puppets.
Oh.
the puppets were hitting each other with their stick and stuff. And so the daughter of the witch of Samantha...
Tabitha. Tabitha.
Tabitha, the daughter of the witch. Tabitha was watching the show, and she said, "It's not nice for this man to be hitting his wife, even if they are just puppets." And so she put herself in the television, in front of the screen where they were doing this, and she said, "Why are you hitting her like that? That's not nice." And she says, "He has to do that because that's part of the show, you know." And he says, "Why are you here? What are you doing?" And she says, "Well, that's not very nice. You shouldn't hit people. That's not nice to hit people." And her little brother was hitting her just as she came onto this adventure, because he was learning how to do it from the television. And so, true, she was objecting to these puppets hitting each other, and she was saying they shouldn't do that. But nobody else was objecting. Just her. Everybody else was thinking, that's part of the Punch and Judy show, you know. That's part of the activity that goes on there. And even her mother, Samantha, she didn't say that was bad, you know. And she said, that's just childhood fairy tales, you know. And Hansel and Gretel and so forth like that. And the witch is going to put them in the oven and make cookies out of them and stuff like that. You know, what a wonderful story to tell children, you know. Well, now, these are things we put in our consciousness. These are things we read. These are things that other people have thought up. And you buy them. You buy these fairy tales by the gross. You buy them by the ton, and you give them to your children, you give them to your grandchildren, you give them to your relatives, you give them to your friends, and you read them yourself. And everybody knows. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the bough breaks, the cradle will drop. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. Oh, rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. Now, what's going to happen? The cradle's going to drop from the tree. Boy, does that give security to the kid, huh? Does that make him feel that everything's going to be all right, that they put him up in the tree in his cradle out of the way of the dogs and cats, and he can sleep up there, but the branch is going to break, and the cradle's going to drop, and the kid's going to Jack and Jill went up the hill to get a bucket of water, and Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Well, now, isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating? And you all know it. We all know it. We were taught these things. We were raised on all this garbage. We were raised... Well, that's getting along with children. We have to learn to get along. We want to send our children to school to learn to get along with other children so that they can socialize. Well, no. We should send our children to school already socialized, already realizing that they're number one and they create all number one around them. And they only have beautiful people around them. They only have beautiful people who think beautiful thoughts just like they do. They go to school as the role model. They don't go to school to socialize. They don't go to school to get started with the rest of the children. They go to school already socialized by their parents, as being ideal, beautiful, fantastic young people, having values that the rest of the world delights in. Now, you go to school, and a lot of times they have values that you don't delight in. Children steal from other children. They take from their lunches, and they threaten them, and they overlord them, you know. They try to be mean to them and things. Now, those things go on. Now, we call that good. And that's part of our everyday activities in the schools and in our homes and in our world. Now, do we want that? Or are we going to wake up and realize, number one, we are number one. Number two, we are all in divine order. Number three, we live our original purity and integrity. That's the only thing we ever want to do. And number four, we're the creator of our world, and our world is good and very good. Good and very good. Now, who needs that sleep? It's an escape. Who needs to read all of this books and literature that take us into other dimensions? Hey, it's cool, you know, that's the way society is. People who have nothing better to do. Do you think that the great scientists who are really great spend their time reading other scientists' literature? Yeah, no way. They go right to the center within themselves and they reveal it. And this is what I would recommend for all of us, that we go right to the center within us. And we spend a little less time sleeping and a little more time dreaming. How about that? Dreaming of all of the magic that we are and all the fun that life is and the wonderful world that we live in. But if you contest me, then I'm not worthy of being in your world, and you may as well send me packing. Because if you contest me, you're saying that you are not divine. You are not God. You are not the creator of your world. You are not the absolute. You are not the allness. And every time you say, I'm tired, I want to go to bed. Every time you say, I'm hungry. Every time you say, I need anything. You're saying that you are not the creator of your world. And you're not fantastic. Well, I'm fantastic. And I like me. And I create around me people I like very much. And so all of you are fantastic. And I like you. And all the people who listen to me, each one of you can say, I live in my original purity and integrity. I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Right now. Right now. And act like it. And when you act like it, what happens?
It's done.
And so it is. I like you. I like you. I like you because...
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
I love you too.